Have you ever gone on a hike before? Perhaps starting in a dense forest, and then gradually the trail that you had started to climb, it started to move a bit higher. Or perhaps you've walked on some trails that haven't been all that well marked out before. Perhaps you've had to do a little bit of scrambling on your own. Perhaps you've been on some trails where you couldn't see the ultimate destination. Instead, you just had to trust that with each step, you were getting closer to the place that you were aiming to be. Mandy and I have had experiences such as those. I think particularly of some of the trails that we walked on during our hike in Ireland a few years back. There were times when we knew where we were, and there were times when we really were not sure. You know, sometimes just getting to the top of a mountain or a hill can make all the difference. On one of our days in Ireland, the journey was taking longer than we had anticipated. We had a bed and breakfast all lined up for the end of the day. We knew where we had to get to, but the journey seemed to be taking forever. Were we going the right way, or had we taken a wrong turn? The sun was starting to go down. Shadows were starting to get a bit longer. I can remember this mountain way up in front of us. Now, I got to just say right here that in Canadian standards, it wasn't a mountain. But after having walked about 33 kilometers that day, and it was getting to the end of the day, let me tell you, that hill looked like a mountain. And I was convinced that the bed and breakfast would be at the bottom of that mountain. Well, got to the bottom of that mountain and no bed and breakfast to be seen. We realized we had to start climbing. So we started climbing, and it felt like the journey was never ending. And yet, things changed the moment we reached the summit. It was breathtaking scenery. And you know, Mandy and I, we just had to pause for a moment. Even though the sun was setting, even though time was of the essence, we had to just pause to get some perspective. We wanted to look back on the path on which we'd come and look forward to where we were going. You know, earlier this week, as I thought about the Old Testament reading, I found myself imagining that that's what it must have been like for Moses and the people of Israel after a long journey that they'd been on. And I imagine them taking a pause to get some perspective. You know, I want us to look back and reflect on their journey. I want to then share with you some of my own, and then invite you to look at where you've been and to where or what God might be leading you. The passage today began with these words from verse 1. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land. Now it's important right here for us to know where we are in the story, because although we've been following the story of Moses and the people of Israel for about 2 months now, our reading today has skipped a lot of the story. Last week, we were in the book of Exodus. This week, we're in the book of Deuteronomy. We're at the end of Deuteronomy. So we've skipped two books in between, and we're at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. So where are we in the story? Well, the people of Israel right now are on the verge of entering the promised land. Moses is 120 years old. For 40 years, he's been leading the people of Israel from the land of Egypt, making their way to the promised land. And the people there are on the brink of entering it. And Moses is right now, he's alone on Mount Nebo. Can you imagine what the sight must have been like for Moses as he stood up on that mountain? It had been quite a journey. It had been an exhausting journey. And the journey was now nearing its completion. For years, the promised land had simply been a destination. Now Moses was being given an opportunity to see it. He wasn't going to enter that land himself. This journey up the mountain was going to be his last journey. And he knew that. He knew that was going to be the case. As I think of him on that mountain, I can imagine him feeling the need to pause, to look back on the path from which he and the people had come, reflecting on the way in which God had been with them, and to look ahead to where his people were going. And you know, I wonder whether during the 30 days of mourning following Moses' death, prior to the people entering the promised land, I wonder whether the people of Israel took that pause to do just the same. What might it have been like for Moses as he looked back on his journey? Well, the journey, it had been an incredible one. I mean, when you think about it, Moses wasn't even supposed to make it to the age of being a toddler. I can imagine Moses on the top of the mountain closing his eyes for a moment and just recalling the story that must have been told to him about what happened around the time of his birth. How back in Egypt, the Pharaoh had issued an order because the Pharaoh was feeling threatened by the population of the Hebrew people. So the Pharaoh had issued an order that all male newborns had to be thrown into the Nile. So Moses should have been one of those boys to be thrown into the Nile. And yet his life was spared. His mom made a basket, and she placed Moses in that basket, and she put the basket on the river. And the basket was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you almost think that there couldn't have been anybody worse to find a Hebrew baby. I mean, the girl's dad was the one who'd issued the order. And yet she took that baby, that child, home as her own. And then we see the hand of God even more when we hear what Moses' sister did. Moses' sister was watching all this happen. She was kind of hiding away. She saw Pharaoh's daughter find the basket with the baby. And then she went up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "You know what? I know just somebody who could nurse this child for you." And so Moses was able to be with his mom, yet living in the home and being brought up in the home of Pharaoh and his daughter. So Moses grew up in the royal court of Egypt. What better place to prepare him for what he would be later called to do? What else might Moses have looked back upon? Well, I'm sure he must have thought about his time in Midian. 40 years in self-imposed exile after killing an Egyptian. It was a long 40 years. Scripture gives us no indication of Moses even being aware of God's presence with him during that time. I can't help but think it must have felt like a desolate time for Moses. 40 years in exile. It must have felt like he was kind of wandering in some kind of wilderness. And yet, might those 40 years have been a preparation for something more? Because at the age of 80, while Moses is tending sheep, God calls out to him from a burning bush. "You're going to lead my people out of Egypt." And it's soon after that time where the path of the people of Israel and the path of Moses, they merge once again. You know, as I think about Moses pausing on Mount Nebo to look back on his journey, I can imagine the people of Israel doing the same in the valley below. It was a tumultuous journey. The number of times the people took issue with Moses. Why did you lead us out of Egypt so that we could die here in the wilderness? That was their response when they barely even left Egypt. When right before them was the Red Sea. Remember how they, I talked about a few weeks back, how taking that journey via the Red Sea, that wasn't even a necessary place to go. And yet God seemingly had led the people there. And then the terror that seized those people as they looked at the water before them and the attacking Egyptians behind them. And even after God came through by parting the sea, that wasn't the end of their difficulties. Note the complaints, they just kept on coming. First, it was because the water that they had was bitter. Then it was because they had no food. Then it was because we're dying of thirst. Now, I'm not so sure how the people of Israel would have reacted on that part of the journey while they're on the edge of the promised land, but I can imagine Moses recalling how he must have wanted just to be pulling out his hair. I can imagine him remembering times on the journey when he wanted to just throw up his hands in despair. Times when he wanted just to walk away from his people. And why would God have asked him to lead a people who seemed to be only concerned about themselves? And then came the golden calf. We heard about that story last Sunday. People who had cried out to God, who'd experienced God reaching down to rescue them from their oppression in Egypt. A God who had parted the Red Sea. A God who had turned that bitter water and made it sweet. A God who gave them food every day when they needed it. And gave them water from a rock when they were dying of thirst. Despite all that, they pressured Aaron for a God on their terms. One that was at their disposal. I can just imagine while up on Mount Nebo, Moses reflecting on that part of the journey. Remember how, after the incident, how God wanted to destroy the people. It was as though God had finally had enough. And yet remember what Moses did. He interceded on behalf of the people. He convinced God to change his mind. And yet, despite the many times where Moses had followed God, despite many ways in which Moses had remained faithful, Moses wasn't without mistakes himself. There were times when he turned his back on God, and he decided that his way was best. I think of one memory in particular that must have been on his mind when he stood on the summit of Mount Nebo. Well, he was pausing to get some perspective. It was a mistake that he couldn't undo. A time when he didn't trust the word of the Lord. Now, it might be easy for us to assume that the reason why Moses would die on Mount Nebo prior to entering into the promised land was simply because he was an old man. He was 120 years old. But Scripture tells us something different. Moses wouldn't enter the promised land because of his own disobedience. Back in the book of Numbers, there's a story about another time when the people needed water. They were crying out for water. And God told Moses to call water forth from a rock. But instead, Moses struck the rock with his staff, like he did the very first time, assuming that was the way it would work. Moses didn't trust God at God's word. And so the consequence was barring his entry into the promised land. even though God still loved Moses and was willing to share his grace towards Moses, there was still a consequence to Moses' own failure. What a journey it had been for Moses, that journey of 120 years. He wasn't going to be entering the promised land with his people. Because of that, it would have been so important for him on that mountain to pause so he could get some perspective. Because as he was to look back on the way in which God had been with him over those 120 years, as he looked back on the course of his journey and he saw how God was still in the midst of all the twists and the turns along the way, so would it have given him confidence in the future to which his people would be traveling as they entered the promised land. As God had been with him and his people, so would God continue to walk with them. So would God continue to work in them. You know, as I consider Moses looking back on his life's journey and the way in which God had walked alongside of him, I think back on my own journey. How has God been walking with me? A few years back, I did some work in my role as archdeacon with a small parish in the diocese who wanted to explore their future. And one of the things I suggested, that before we can even look ahead, we need to look back. We need to look back on our own journeys and our own kind of own spiritual roadmap, as it were, in order to gain some perspective. I had people draw out on a piece of paper a road that represented their lives, and then to draw pictures or include words for memories that stood out to them along the way. You know, when I think of my own journey, my life's roadmap, there are some things that stand out to me as I think about that. Well, the very first thing is my baptism. Now, I was baptized when I was about a month old, so I don't remember it at all. But the thing is, I also don't remember there ever being a time when I felt as though I was outside of God's family. So for me, that baptism was foundational. It was the start of that journey with God. The next memory is a memory of a friend and I taking up the offering in church when we were 4 years old. One of the things that told me was that everybody can serve God. It doesn't matter how old you are, everybody is called to serve. Then I remember Christmas as a 12-year-old. That was the very first time that I was ever given the choice of whether or not to go to a Sunday service. I've told some of you this before, but Christmas Eve, we'd had a service. We'd all gone to church as a family. Christmas Day, we always used to go as a family to church. This one particular Christmas Day, Dad was going to church. Mom was staying at home to get the meal ready. And they said to me, "You can choose. What do you do?" And I chose to go to church. And that was an important decision in my life. Then there was youth group when I was in my teens. I've spoken to you before about the impact of that youth group, how it was such a close group. We were a group that loved music. We used to sing a lot together. We used to pray together. We supported one another. I always knew that with these friends, I could count on them for love and for support. Then came a time in my teens when I would say that it was kind of earplugging time. Now, it wasn't that I'd left God. I didn't rebel against God, or at least openly. I was still going to church, still reading my Bible, still praying, things like that. But There were people who were saying to me they thought that I should become a pastor. And I think I was plugging my ears, because really what I thought they were saying was, wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it look cute if you followed in your dad's footsteps? I didn't want to do it for my dad's sake. I didn't want to do it for that reason. And so it was like I had my ears plugged. And it wasn't until I was in my late teens, probably 19 or 20, when I met a blind man who didn't really know my dad, who helped me to see and to hear God's call on me that I be ordained. That it had nothing to do with who my dad was, but God's call to me. Then came my need to save up for seminary. Now, I kind of shortlisted different possible seminaries to go to. One in England was a possibility, one in the States, and one in Canada. And the three, they cost different amounts. The one in England was going to cost the most. The U.S. was the next, and the Canadian one was last. I had 18 months to work between my undergraduate degree and going off to seminary. So I just decided whatever I can save up for, that will help me decide where I'm going. And you know what? In those 18 months, I almost saved up exactly what I needed for 3 years in England. It was neat. And of course, it was in England that I met Mandy. Now, it took us 2 years and 6 months before we started going out, but within 6 weeks, we were engaged. And these past nearly 32 years have been absolutely foundational for me. I believe that through our marriage, God has been at work, shaping me, shaping us more and more to fit who God wants us to be. After leaving the UK, our journey then took us to Ontario, my very first parish. It was a struggle for us. I mean, Mandy was adjusting to a new country. I was adjusting to what it meant to be a pastor. And at first, we weren't married. Mandy was living with some people in the parish, and I was living somewhere else. And even though by the time we left, we were married, as we were leaving, I've said this before as well, that as we were leaving, we didn't know where God was calling us. It felt like God had gone silent. We finally ended up in Bonnyville, in northern Alberta. And it was there where we welcomed our two children. And through our children, God has taught us a lot. After 4 years in that place, though, it was clear that the two churches that I served, they couldn't support full-time ministry. So I had to start applying elsewhere. I thought I'd be offered a job in Vancouver. In fact, I applied for two, but wasn't offered either of them. And it was only after that I applied for Holy Trinity. And then it seemed like this was a fit like a hand in a glove. And now, some 26 years later, we're still journeying together. What a journey it's been. The many ways that God has been with me on my journey. And it's only as I pause to get some perspective that I can appreciate the road that I've been led to take. And as I pause to look back on that road and remind myself of God's hand upon my life up to now, I find myself filled with encouragement about the journey that's still yet to come. Where might God lead? What might God want to do in me? How might God work in me and through me? As I pause to get some perspective, I'm filled with hope and encouragement. That's not to say that I think the road ahead is going to be super easy. I'd be naive to think that. Often the road isn't easy. Often it seems as though there's detours along the way. Sometimes it can feel as though God's gone silent. That God has left us on our own to find our way. I think that's how the people of Israel may have felt at times over their 40-year journey. But I wonder how things might have been different if they had just simply paused so they could get some perspective. I wonder what things might have been like for them when they were crying out for food or water, if they had simply paused to remember how God had been with them when He parted the Red Sea. Or if before getting Aaron to make the golden calf, they paused to remember God giving the law to them. And the fact that God had said that they were His people. If they'd paused, if they'd remembered, would they have turned from Him the way they did? You know, it's so easy for us to get tunnel vision, to focus on the way things are turning in on us when the journey of life seems to get difficult. And yet I wonder how things might change if only we paused so that we might get a little perspective. So we've had a look at Moses' journey. I've spoken a bit of my own. Now it's time for you to do some reflecting. To climb a mountain, as it were, with God. So you might think back on your life up to now. To see the journey that you've been traveling on. And then in light of what you see, to take a look forward and to imagine what you might see. To reflect on where God might be leading you. And I've got some questions that I want to share with you that might help in your reflection. As you look at your roadmap, what are some of the spiritual formation markers along the way? You might even want to draw a map yourself and to be plotting those different points along your roadmap. So what are some of the spiritual formation markers along the way? How has God shaped you? Or how might God be shaping you according to His purpose? And what about the struggling times? Where do you think God was at those times? Or what might it have been in those times that you just couldn't see when you were in the midst of them? But now looking back on it, you get a different perspective. I believe God has a promised land for each of us. I believe God hasn't given up on us in any way. Instead, God is continually shaping us that we might be ready for all of God's future. So may you pause this day, that you might gain some perspective. May you recognize God as you look back, noticing God's faithfulness and love towards you. And may that be the encouragement you need in order to take the next step, and the next step after that, towards God's future. Holding on to the confidence that God will be with you on the journey as you make your way to God's promised land. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You that You have been walking with us all these years. Lord, we're sorry for those times when we didn't recognize it. Sorry for those times when we kind of turned our backs on You. But Lord, we thank You that You have never turned Your back on us. Lord, help us to hold on to those things, those memories. And Lord, help us to hold on to those things as we look ahead to our future and what You're wanting to be doing in us and through us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.